God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton as we open the book of 1 Peter together. In just a few moments, Dr. Wilton dives into a message he calls, What Have I Been Given? Perfect for this holiday season as we celebrate Thanksgiving and, oh, such an attitude of gratitude that makes a difference in all that we do and we live. I pray that you know that we're grateful for the opportunity to pray with you and for you, even during the holidays. You can always reach one of us at 866-899-WORD. We'd love to pray with you and for you. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. This month, there's some remarkable resources, especially about decision-making, perfect gifts, and more. That's at tewonline.org. Now, today's message with Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging
Word. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter and chapter 1. We are trying to have a look at a subject that affects every single one of us. Staying strong in difficult times. Now, there are two components to that theme. The first one is related to the difficult times that we experience. And one can imagine the whole gamut of the human experience. I know that in my own life as your pastor. It's not unusual for a pastor to find himself going from one end of the human experience to the other, sometimes in a very short space of time. It's not unusual in a day to find oneself meeting with a couple whose marriage is falling apart and who are in trouble related to their marriage. Moving from that circumstance and going to help someone, to comfort someone who is bereaved. They've lost a loved one. Moving from that perspective to go and counsel and meet with a couple who are about to be married, and they're so in love. You know they are, because the entire 2 hours that you talk to them, they don't hear a word you say. Such is their joy. And then to leave that married couple, who are that couple about to be married, and then go down to the hospital where someone is having surgery, or to meet someone who has been diagnosed with a disease that could potentially be terminal. And then to leave that situation and go to another one where someone is contemplating suicide, or there has been a road accident, or there has been some other tragedy, and then to leave that and to run down to the hospital to rejoice with a couple who have just had a brand new baby born. And what joy there is to hold a newborn baby. And so there is the whole roller coaster of human emotion. Sometimes it can happen in the space of just 2 to 3 hours, and sometimes it can happen over weeks, and individually in our lives, sometimes that goes on ad infinitum. It never seems to stop. I will guarantee you, and I said this to the pastor's Sunday school class this morning, a much smaller group, I'll guarantee you that there is someone here this morning who is hurting deeply. You say, Pastor, do you know that? Well, of course, I know a lot of things as God allows me to be privileged to partner with people, but I don't know that specifically as I stand here to bring you God's word. I make a statement of fact to you this morning, that I will guarantee you that there is someone here, and perhaps more than just one, perhaps many. There is someone here this morning that you are experiencing a difficult time. And that issue in your heart, some of these issues are so private. I've become so convinced that whilst we are public people, we're always out there for human consumption. There is a private side to the lives of most people that we don't want to share. It's personal. And this is particularly relevant when sometimes we are hurt or we go through experiences that damage our hearts or pull us down, and they affect us. And we don't want to get involved with other people, and so we keep them and we hide them, and sometimes we push them down in our hearts, and we keep pushing them down. I know of some people who have pushed down hurt for so long that they are literally like volcanoes waiting to explode. I want you to listen to this letter that I want to read to you this morning. I received this in 1994. Dear Pastor, for some time now I have been sharing in the wonderful worship services of your church each Sunday. I wish I lived closer to Spartanburg so that I could come in person and be a part of all that goes on there. Please tell your people just how very grateful we all are for providing such a source of inspiration and comfort to so many people. I know that you must receive many hundreds of personal requests each week, and so I am sorry for troubling you in any way. I hope that there's nobody here today who ever thinks that you are trouble because you are hurting or because you have a need. Please never think that you are a burden or you are a trouble to me, to these ministers, to anyone who loves the Lord Jesus. You are never trouble. You give to us the greatest privilege that God could ever give to us. My husband and I had been happily married for 20 years. We had both worked hard and had been able to live comfortably on our income. We remained faithful to our vows to each other and to our two children. Not only that, but both of us loved the Lord and have been actively involved in our church, not Baptist, but a congregation of people who rarely try to live for the Lord. Then in brackets, I hope you will still read this letter now that you know I'm not a Baptist. Well, I guess that's the end of that letter. What a joy to be brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want you to think that we are in any way perfect, but we have tried our best to raise our son and daughter in the best way, provide them with a happy home life, and make certain that all their needs are met. Our daughter has been nothing but joy to us. Our son was the most precious boy. We had much fun together until it all just went wrong. Pastor, our hearts are broken. I don't understand what went wrong. Is it okay for me to question God about all of this? When he was about 8 or so, we began to notice just little changes in attitude and behavior. By the time he reached 12, he would become so ugly to us in the home. He would never quite cuss, but he would yell at me and his daddy, storm out, lose his temper, and say the most hurtful things to us and to his younger sister. We noticed the kinds of friends he was hanging around, their language, and the way they conducted themselves. My friends, I've said so many times from this pulpit to our young people, be very careful about the company you keep. I cannot say that to you enough from this pulpit. Be very careful about the company you keep. Young people, be very careful about the company you keep. I cannot say that in stronger terms to you. You get in the wrong company, they will drag you down. I'm telling you, they will drag you down. Their motives are wrong. They will destroy you. You'll undergo an attitude change, and you'll end up being hurt badly. Be very careful about the company you keep. Listen to what this mother says. We notice the kind of friends he was hanging around, their language, the way they conducted themselves. I know that kids are meant to be kids, but everything our son began to do was a copy of the crowd he was hanging with. And if we dared say anything to him about them, you would not believe the things he would say in retaliation. In front of others, he would be okay and even pretty cool. But at home, it was totally different. Then came the smoking, the drinking, and the drugs. He began to stay out all night long, lied to us constantly, stayed out of school, and the list goes on. And here's the heartbreak. Today, at an age when most young people should be out having a ball, our son is in jail. Our hearts are broken, and we feel so empty and deflated as parents, it's hard to describe. To make matters worse, our marriage has suffered. We blame each other, and the tension has risen to an all-time high. I never thought I would ever utter these words, but I'm even thinking and threatening divorce or separation, which I know is wrong. It's just that we hurt so deep down. If it wasn't for our daughter, we would have nothing to smile about. I feel as though everyone is looking at me, even at church. So I stopped going a long time ago. Perhaps you will never know what your TV services have meant to me, even though you don't even know I exist. Dr. Wilton, what do I do? Where do I go? Sometimes I wish I was just dead. I don't know where to turn. I thought perhaps you might have some help for me. What really hurts is that I've always tried to live for God and do the right thing. Why have we had to suffer like this? I know you have many people to care for, but every time I listen to you on TV, God seems to tell me something, and so I wanted to write to you. Please forgive me if I sound like I'm the only person worth anything in this world. I want you to know that there are so many issues that this lady has brought up. They are so real to you and me. They are where we're at. They are the things that we experience, and the question there that strikes me most of all is, where do I turn to? What do I do? Now, folks, this morning I could tell you to go and see a counselor, and of course that would have value to it. But I'm going to say to you that it is absolutely paramount that first and foremost that we go to the Word of God. Now, here's the reason why. The Bible says this about itself. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. What God is teaching us here about His word, this precious word, is just simply this. That God's word is an illuminator. His word is a light, it's a lamp. And God, by His Word and through the power and presence of His Spirit, who He has given to us to help us to understand and to comfort our hearts, God passes, as it were, His lamp through the very darkest and deepest holes in our life, and He lights them up through His Word. And He helps us not only to understand, but to see where we're going. He even helps us to diagnose what the problem is, because you can see it. There are medical procedures today, I'm told, that enable a person's anatomy to be explored in the depths of our very beings. Basically, what happens surgically is they put lights and things down there, they use TV monitors, and they can go into areas where the human eye cannot go. And when they see whatever it is that is causing the pain or the suffering, it enables the doctors and the surgeons to be able to act decisively and do something and recommend something to help overcome this particular problem. God's word is just like that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. He illuminates, he shines, and he directs. And God helps us to be able to understand the grief and the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Peter, writing here in his first epistle, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, puts his finger right on the button. I want to read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Read along with me here. Peter says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy," listen to this, "He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Not only that, it is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded or protected by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Wow! Isn't that a wonderful word? May God write His word upon our hearts. May He open our hearts to understand what it is that we are dealing with. May God, by His grace and through His word, give us the strength to stay strong in difficult times. Remarkable. Here the apostle begins by saying, "Praise be to God." He begins with God the Father, and you may be interested to know that in the Greek text, that word there, praise, is literally the word blessed. It's not the same meaning as he used in the Beatitudes when he said, "Blessed are the spirit and blessed are the meek." This blessed here is rather one that speaks of ultimate praise and glory, which results in a direct benefit to the one who is offering the praise. Now look what happens here. It's remarkable. Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He begins with God. Now why does he begin with God? Perhaps, my friends, this morning, because Peter understood in no uncertain terms by the power of the Holy Spirit that if we're going to stay strong in difficult times, that we must begin with God. Why? Because God is the one who occupies the position that enables him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves.
What a powerful statement. God is the intercessor. He's the one that builds the bridges, that accomplishes things we could never do on our own. I pray that if you find yourself on your own, know that that's not God's plan. The body of Christ, the church, is here to lift one another up. And we're here for you 24 hours a day to pray and encourage you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And a lot of things are developing on our new website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. I hope you'll drop by and visit. Now let's dive back into today's message. What have I been given with Dr. Don Wilton?
But Peter here, writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says, "Listen, I know that you are experiencing difficult times, and if you want to know the answer to this, let's begin where we need to begin. We need to begin with God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Why? Because He is the one who has the position and the power to give to you what you need to have. That's why my message is entitled this morning, "What Have I Been Given?" So here it is today. How do I stay strong in difficult times? I want you to understand today what you have been given. I want you to understand, and God wants us to understand more importantly in His Word, that when we know what we've been given, we have something to hold on to. You don't have anything to hold on to, and difficult times come along, kaboom, down you go. You're going to fall through the floorboards. Probably one of my favorite stories in Scripture is the wise man and the foolish man, and the foolish man built his house on the sand, and the rains came, and when the rains came, his house fell down. You know why? Because his house had nothing to stand on. He had nothing to hold on to. You can go to builders up and down our congregation here today and ask them, what's the most important thing you do when you build a house? They're going to say, build a proper foundation. What Peter is saying here, listen, I don't want you to be a foolish person. I want you to be a wise person. I want you to know what God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has given you so that when it comes time for you to fall through the floorboards, you've got something to hold on to. Here it is. Number one, mercy. Mercy. M-E-R-C-Y. Mercy. It's what he says there, in his great mercy. The word eleos in the Greek text, coming from God, listen to what it means. It means feeling. It means pity. It means compassion. It means affection. It means kindness. This kind of mercy that can only come from God, our Heavenly Father, is the kind of mercy that literally means a desire to tenderly draw to oneself or to care for. Just think about that for a moment. Staying strong in difficult times, how do I deal with my circumstances? Number one, I've got something that God has given to me, and it's His mercy. And when God gives me His mercy and I understand that I have His mercy, what do I have in my hands? I have tenderness, compassion. I have an inclination on God's part to draw us to Himself. I have kindness. I have strength. All because of the mercy of God. Listen to what the Word says in Romans 11:32. For God has concluded them all in unbelief that He might have mercy on them all. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, but God who is rich in mercy, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, Titus 3 through 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. What about Psalm 103 and verse 17? But the Lord's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And my favorite one is in Lamentations 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Why? Because His compassions fail not. Do you know what difficult times do to us? They consume us. Just whoop. I mean, they just take chunks out of us. Just whoop. I mean, it's gone. Here we are, we're suffering all this sort of things that are going on, and it just eats away at us. God says, wait a minute, because of my mercy, I will not allow you to be consumed, because you're going to be overcome by my compassion. I'm a God of mercy. That's right. So what has His mercy done for us? His mercy has saved us despite ourselves. What has His mercy done for us? His mercy has adopted us to make us beneficiaries. Peter talks about it. He says, I want you to know something. This is the God of our fathers, the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what has Jesus Christ done for us? Through His mercy, He has not only saved us, but He has adopted us to allow us to become the beneficiaries of all that God has given to Him in His grace. Now, hold on a minute. I hope that you know Jesus Christ this morning. You see, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is the thing that makes all the difference. It's not our church. The tradition of our church is not going to save us. It's not going to be our preacher or our priest. It's not going to be whether we were born in a church or whether we did this or whether we did that. It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. And God, the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, He's not only saved us, He's not only adopted us to become beneficiaries of His grace, but there's a third thing that He's done by His mercy. I love this. He loves us. Someone said to me one time, Pastor, The greatest thing that you can ever do for somebody who is struggling in difficult times is to just love them. Some of you might say to me today, Pastor, you know, when someone invites me around to their home or they bereaved, how do I minister to them? Don't worry about whether you say the right things or whether you can quote all scripture. Just love them. That's God's mercy.
Sometimes it really is that direct, that simple, that honest. God's love, God's mercy. We believe that this is not a mistake, not an accident, but that God has connected us together for us to share the teachings of Dr. Wilton with you because God loves you, and He's using this broadcast to let you know He loves you and has a plan for your life. Would you open your heart to what Dr. Wilton's going to say next? Perhaps the most important 30 seconds of the day.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much.
Welcome to the family of God. If you've made a decision for Jesus Christ, let us know. Let us put some resources in your hands that'll help you grow in the next step. Our number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Jot the number down. If you don't have time right now, call us later today. We would love to put these resources in your hands that will help you grow. Speaking of resources, you'll find many of them on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org, the source for great resources like this.
Many people around the world are looking for some kind of assurance to quiet their fears. They want to be totally secure. Total assurance only comes from God. I have a serious question to ask you. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? This month, with your gift of $25 in support to the Encouraging Word, you will receive Dr. Wilton's powerful message, The Confident Assurance of Salvation, along with his book, Totally Secure. Both of these ministry resources will help answer five important questions people churched and unchurched struggle with, such as, what is salvation? Am I saved? Can I lose my salvation? Will I go to heaven? What happens when I sin? Call us at 866-899-WORD to request the confident assurance of salvation along with his book, Totally Secure. You can find peace, protection, and assurance in the arms of God. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today for these audio messages, but we'll be online and video throughout the weekend. If you'd like to find places to watch, go to our website, tewonline.org. You can watch there, but also know where to invite friends to tune in perhaps Sunday afternoon at 2:30 Eastern on Daystar. Again, details are online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org.